Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God be with you. Father, we thank you for being with us, Lord, guiding us, giving us wisdom, opening our understanding. Thank you, Lord, for the good things you're doing in these days. Oh, glory be to God. Amen. All right. Well, by the providence of God, we're going to continue with provision for David's house, number two. Eve Brast, of course, is going to be sharing this. She said, I just received another dream on 4/6/21 concerning Father's provision for David's house. So I understood that he wasn't through speaking to you, BM, about this subject. I've also included some past revelations that I will share at the end that fit so well with this latest dream the Father gave me. I dreamed that I, representing the First Fruits Bride Company, was sitting on the top front step of the White House. It had been a sunny, nice day, but now the sun was going down, and the shadows were starting to grow long. Father is sovereign over the White House and also his White House. He is in control of all. The First Fruits corporate body of the bride is sitting on the top step of the Father's White House because they are the first fruits to come to maturity. As the sun goes down on this last dispensation and we enter the 7 years of tribulation, when darkness covers the earth, we can see the shadows growing longer over the land. But as it says in Psalm 91 and verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. I felt small in this dream like a child. And Jesus said, unless you become as a little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I was dressed in a red and white checkered blouse and a pure white pleated skirt. And what I saw here was that for the blouse, we are a mixture of red for the red political perspective, people who are opposite from the blue leftist, communist, antichrist political faction. And we are white for the righteous spiritual perspective, which many of the right wing are not. everybody knows, obviously, that there are a lot of people in the right wing who are self-righteous. As for the white skirt, we stand for the bride's righteous acts and walk of the saints. Amen. So, and the reason I say this is because of what you're about to hear. It is both the political aspect and the spiritual aspect that are coming together. She said, I always had a small white yellow-colored blanket that I carried bunched up close to my chest with my right arm that gave me great comfort and security. And she says, this blanket represents the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. I agree. And the white is for purity, and the yellow for the sun, representing the S-O-N. It was peaceful sitting there as I looked up at the high ceiling of the porch and the huge pillars that ran along the front of it. It made me feel even smaller. Peaceful is something, is a phase that the bride and the man-child are coming to, as well spoken in Isaiah about great peace that would come to his man-child and bride after going through a great tribulation of crucifixion at the hands of the wicked. And so that's what we're coming to. That persecution is about over. Not for everybody, but for the bride and the man-child, because now they have been prepared to do their work. And Eve said, the first fruits are only a small portion of God's harvest in these end times. Yes, this is true. She said there were huge swaths of freshly tilled red dirt farmland with gently rolling hills that stretched out in front of the White House. And this is, of course, prepared for the fruit of the White Houses, as you will see, because there's two White Houses there. Okay. No parking lots or city structures at all. And she said the red dirt is our rebellious, sinful flesh nature that must be broken up in order for it to receive God's seed or his word and bear fruit. I knew in the dream that this was David's house, that his house, as it is in real life, was inside the White House, and that David was inside working at the moment. So you have the White House, the political White House that we, of course, have been fighting for, the Trump presidency, the Cyrus presidency, upholding him so that he can do his job, right? And inside of that, like dreams that we've heard before, there was a joining together of the David ministries and the White House Trump Cyrus ministries for the purpose of doing what God wants to do in these days. As we can see throughout history, there was this joining, like in the picture of Daniel and Joseph, you know, joining with the leadership of the world. So Eve says this is again pointing to the parallel between the presidency of Donald Trump and the man-child David ministries receiving their authority from God to fulfill his end-time plans for his people. And, I might add, the people of the United States. Amen. He has a plan for everyone. The huge front door stood open, and there was a huge screen door on the front of the White House that let the breeze flow through. The breeze representing the Holy Spirit, right? None of the flies or other insects from the fields were able to get inside. And she says the screen door represents the free flow of the Holy Spirit in this house, and of course we're talking about the spiritual White House, not the building up there that's totally emptied out and probably going to be destroyed or made a museum or whatever, you know. But we're talking about the office of the presidency, okay? So she said the screen door represents the free flow of the Holy Spirit in this house, which gives us the ability and discernment to screen out the demons and the demonic curses that are upon the world and those who are worldly. Amen. Eve said, as I turned my attention back to the farm fields in front of the house, the voice of the Father began to speak out of the sky directly above me, over the roof of the porch. I began to see all the workmen out in the fields. The workmen are the angels who gather the end-time harvest. Matthew 13:36-43. Then he left the multitudes and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Explain unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said, He that sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. And the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy that sowed them is the devil. I want to say there's some confusion out there about this, and there shouldn't be. It's easy to tell at the time of the harvest who has been sown by the devil. It is those who are still sinful. Okay, now, we're approaching a deadline here for the bride and the man-child, but also there is a further deadline for the church in the tribulation. Okay, so keep that in mind. And 1 Samuel 24 and 13 says, As saith the proverb of the ancients, Out of the wicked cometh forth wickedness. You can tell who the wicked are. I don't know why people think that grace is so greasy that you can't tell who the wicked are. Evil is as evil does, right? And the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. There you go. These are the ones working in the field. And, of course, angels use people to work in the field, too, to bring together the crops. So we don't want to forget that. And as, therefore, the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so it shall be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom. Oh, this is a falling away. All that cause stumbling. I left things out because it doesn't belong there. All that cause stumbling, and them that do iniquity. So he's gathering, this is what's happening now, he's gathering out of his kingdom those that do sin and are stumbling. And there also happen to be the persecutors of the bride and the man-child, so, because they're coming out of his kingdom. They're angry, unforgiving, critical, and don't accept responsibility for their sins. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that hath ears, let him hear. Well, we can see that this separation and judgment, both in the spiritual world and for a parable in the physical and political realm. Okay, you can see that out there now. It's happening, but that's happening in the church now, too. There, in case some out there don't know it, what has been called the good guys, it's relative, of course, are winning this battle, and Babylon will be conquered, just as history says, and by Cyrus, who is Trump. So that's happening, and also in the spiritual realm, the same thing is happening. But it's happening with the man-child ministry and the bride ministry. There were two teams of field workers that were working together simultaneously. They had two very large trucks. One was a dump truck and the other a garbage truck. And two front-end loaders with large buckets for scooping things up and putting them in the truck beds. These trucks were much bigger than in real life, and the beds were twice as long, like the size of 18-wheelers. I looked at the side of the dump truck, which was closest to me, and the house, and saw many white bags of freshly harvested red apples. The Father was narrating what I was watching as he said, And these are the good apples. They are sweet, ripe, and delicious. They are perfect, and there were no flaws found in them. They are fit for my use. And Eve gives a text here, 2 Timothy 2:20 through 22, that fits very well. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some unto honor and some unto dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use. That's what he said. They are fit for my use. Okay. Prepared unto every good work. In other words, for the Father to use them. They have been prepared for the Father to use them. They walk in purity and righteousness and bear the fruit of their God. But flee youthful lusts and follow after righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. There were multitudes of apples in those bags, and the men were scooping up the bags of the good apples and putting them into the dump truck to be taken where the Lord wanted them to go. Amen. As the front end loader was putting these apples into the back of the truck, the white bags were tearing open, and I could see how shiny and ripe and perfect they all looked as they tumbled into the truck bed. And she says the white bags tearing open to reveal the good fruit represents the crucifixion unto eternal life that we suffer in order to bear the fruit of Christ in our earthly vessels. This is true. She then said, I looked further out in the field, meaning far from godliness, and saw the garbage truck surrounded by many black trash bags filled with rotten, bad apples. The Father's voice spoke again and said, these are the bad apples. Well, you know, bad apple is a saying that we use to describe a bad person, right? And Father went on to say, they are diseased and filled with worms and infested with insects. And they are so bad and rotten that they cannot be eaten. They were being taken and burned and ground down into fertilizer for the next crop, unquote. All right, so Father's describing what's going to happen to the bad apples, the bad fruit, the rotten fruit. Rotten fruit can be could be good fruit that turned bad because it wasn't partaken of, it wasn't acted upon, in other words, right? There were also multitudes of apples in those bags as well. As the men were scooping them up, with the front end loaders and dumping them into the back of the garbage truck, the black bags were also tearing open, and I could see all the bad apples. They were rotten and had holes in them with worms and insects crawling in and out of them. And there was paper trash mixed in with them as well. Eve says the black bags tearing open represents the destruction unto death that the wicked suffers for their rebellion to God's word. Their fruit is rotten and eaten up by the curse because of the garbage of the world and the worldly living that is mixed in with their lives. This is true. I might add that myself and Mary had a dream years ago about her younger sister who was trying to kill the worms in the apples on her apple tree. and she was broadcasting the spray over a broad area, just sweeping back and forth. And Mary said, "No, you have to do this." And she took the can of spray, and she went to each apple and sprayed it in the worm that was hanging out in the mouth. Sprayed it in the mouth. You know, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If a person doesn't change their speaking and confess the Lord before men, they won't receive grace from God to be good and stay good, right? So Eve said, "Their fruit is rotten and eaten up by the curse because of the garbage of the world and worldly living that's mixed in with their lies." It's true. That's true. One of the workmen threw a lever, and the garbage compactor began to squeeze and crush all of the bad apples and compact them together with the trash to make room for more bad apples to be dumped into the garbage truck. Once it was full, an incendiary fire started inside the garbage truck and burned all the bad apples into a black powder dust. And I watched as the garbage truck began to go all around the freshly plowed field and scatter the dust onto the field to fertilize it for the next crop. Well, what was spoken to me when I saw this particular part of this dream is that this could mean that the judgment of the wicked will put the fear of the Lord in the hearts of those observing. You see, there's a lot of people, a lot of Christians in America that have never gone through terrible hardships like is about to happen. But when they observe what's happening to the wicked, it will be like an inoculation, I believe. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when people see the wicked judge, they know that God does do this. Some foolishly believe that God is good and, for not judging sin, which is crazy. But it justifies them in their sin, right? So Matthew 3, 11 and 12 says, "I indeed baptize you in water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor. He will gather his wheat into the garner, but the chaff he will burn up with unquenchable fire." Yes, indeed. That is God's method. So, she said, Leon received by faith at random Jeremiah 24, 1 through 10. As a confirmation of this dream, our very next morning in the prayer meeting, he had no knowledge of this dream beforehand. Jeremiah 24, 1 through 10. "The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs set before the temple of the Lord. After that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the craftsmen and smiths, from Jerusalem, and he brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad." Sound familiar, right? "Then said the Lord unto me, What seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, Figs, the good figs, very good, and the bad, very bad. They cannot be eaten, they are so bad." In other words, nobody can partake of this rotten fruit. You know, It's and that's what people are out there in the world claiming that they represent Jesus. When people see their bad life, they think, "Oh no, what do I need Christianity for?" Yeah. So verse 4. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I regard the captives of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for good. Yes, all of us have come out of Babylonish Christianity. And what we got is a good taste of what not to do. If we're paying attention to the Lord's demonstrations there of what not to do, unless you want to stay in Babylon, right? But he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good. That is the good figs that he sent to Babylon. And I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. So we see here the first fruits born of Babylon are coming forth to live and to build in the promised land now. They're ready to build. And Cyrus is ready to do his work. All right? Amen. Verse 7. And I will give them a heart to know me, that is the good figs, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as the bad figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so bad, surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give up Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem, representing the apostate leadership of Christianity and those that follow them, that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt. I will even give them up to be tossed to and fro among the kingdoms of the earth for evil, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse, in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them till they be consumed. This is what's going to happen. By the hand of Babylon, he is going to judge these people, and they will be consumed. From off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. Let me say that there are people that are probably dying of the sword, famine, and pestilence who are not necessarily bad people. Their time is up. They may not know and have faith to be saved physically, but they have faith to be saved spiritually. And so some will die and enter into the kingdom of God and have rest. Others who are wicked will die for the purpose of sweeping them into hell. Famine, pestilence among them, until they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and their fathers. Yes. Suddenly, a very important man showed up on the right side of the porch of the White House. And remember, the White House here has another house inside of it, David's house. God's White House, right? Inside of it. He was dressed as a simple farmhand in blue jeans, and he had a white Fruit of the Loom t-shirt on. When, by the way, I believe we are the fruit of his loom. Amen. He was wearing brown leather farm boots, and he had a white covering over his entire head so that I couldn't see his face. Oh, that sounds familiar. And Eve said, I believe this man was the father because I couldn't look upon his face. But Jesus said, If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. John 14:7-10. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. You know, you can tell who has the Father for their Father when you look at them. When you see their works, you can tell. Religion says, no. It's grace. But God gives grace to be holy. He gives grace to deliver us from the curse. He gives grace to manifest Christ in us. His grace works when our faith works. And so we're finding out who has faith. Verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long a time with you, and dost thou not know me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, Show us the Father? Well, it's very obvious that sons walk in their father's steps, right? And believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say unto you, I speak not from myself, but the Father abiding in me, doeth his works. Well, here you have the Father appearing to be doing the works of a farmhand. Yes, he is. And he uses lots and lots of people to do this. Because he dwells in his sons, right? Yes. I got up and walked over to him and noticed that he had a farmer's tan on his arms and that his forearms were very large and muscular from years of hard work and manual labor. Yep. 1 Corinthians 3:6-9. I planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. You see, men don't need to be having the credit for something that God is doing, and he's using them, right, as vessels. Okay. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, but each shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's husbandry, God's building. He's joining parables together here. I could sense his kindness, lowliness, and the peaceful nature that exuded from him. I knew in the dream that he had given a very large sum of money as a donation for David's house. Oh, praise the Lord. I took his hand and said, I want to thank you so much for your generous contribution. And I thanked him for his sacrifice so that David could purchase his house. The Father sacrificed his only son to purchase or redeem us from sin and death. And also he is providing the finances for the purchase of David's house in real life. Thank you, Father. Amen. So I say, thank you, Father. He was a very quiet and humble man and didn't really say much to my thank you, but received it warmly and graciously. He was there to see David, and asked me if I would be so kind as to fetch David for him. I think Eve's being affected by Timothy Dixon. Fetch. Be so. I don't think I've ever heard her say that before. But the Father, but she has a reason here. She said, Father knows how to speak to us in simple ways that we can receive and understand him. I was thinking of the way Timothy Dixon speaks when I pondered this portion of the dream. He's a humble, simple man, but the Lord speaks so powerfully through him in prophetic words, dreams, and visions. Amen. Amen. And I said, sure, he's inside working. Let me go and get him for you. I only got as far as the screen door when David came out and walked directly over to the man with long, quick strides, as if he already knew him and knew of his presence on the porch. They gave each other a good, firm handshake, and David thanked him as well for his sacrificial gift and his friendship. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. We need the friendship of the Lord. Psalm 25 and 14. The friendship of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Amen. Then the man said in a quiet voice, well, I want to thank you for all that you've done for me and for this ministry. That thank you, Father, for making me to, that thank you, Father, for making me to serve you, Father, would thank me, is very generous considering that I have done nothing but what he gave me grace to do. It's he who giveth the increase. Thank you, Father, for making me to serve you. And we should all be asking God to do that. Father, make us to serve you. Work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. He does this, by the way, for those who fear him and walk by faith in him. And he gives that gift, too. So it's all grace, right? After this, the scene changed, and I was sitting inside the White House in David's living room that he has in real life with several other women and brethren from UBM. We all had white plates of fried fish, but mine looked and tasted like chicken because I hate fish. She said, I guess the Lord can make his manna palatable for his people, being weak to the weak, so that they can receive it, even in a dream. Amen. David then came out of the master bedroom and began going around to each one of us, starting with my plate. He cocked his head to the side and gave me the eagle eye, jokingly, as if to say, you'd better eat all of your fish. I think most of the people over here know I make comments, especially when they act picky about their food. I said, well, now you know, you're told, eat what's put before you. Well, anyway, he did this knowing that I don't like to eat fish. Father knows what is good and healthy for us to eat. His word is what we should feed on. And sometimes our flesh doesn't like to eat the word. They're kind of like the manna, right? The manna from heaven. And the man from heaven, of course, is Jesus. We must ask for grace from God to consume his word and not eat the things that are pleasing to the flesh. Amen. Amen. Then David took a small piece of fish from my plate and ate it. He then went around the room taking a small piece of fish from each of our plates and ate it. We gladly shared our food with him and felt honored to do so. And then I woke up. And she said, this represents everyone in UBM donating their gifts for the purchase of David's house. Psalm 128 and 2. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Well, you know, I'm remembering, sow thy bread upon the waters, after many days it shall return unto thee. Sometimes people sow, and they sow for a long time, and then, wow, God answers. And he meets everything, you know, takes care of everything. I think that's the season we're coming to now. Okay. Another confirmation for this dream was that Lexi came into our Monday night prayer meeting with a large, fresh apple to snack on during the meeting. I've rarely seen her eat an apple or bring one to the meeting to snack on. I asked Father for a word by faith at random for this dream, and my finger was on the phrase, "The Lord bless thee out of Zion," in Psalm 128:5. And I will share the context 1 through 6. Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be. It shall be well with thee. Yes, I believe that's what's happening. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine in the innermost part of thy house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord bless thee out of Zion, which is the bride, of course. And that's where the blessing is going to begin, from the man-child through the bride to the people, just as it was with Jesus and the bride who walked with him, according to John. And see thou the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, see thou thy children's children. Peace be upon Israel. That's the way we want it to do. We want the children to have children, the spiritual children to have spiritual children everywhere, that is spread throughout the planet, so that the gospel is preached to the whole world today. Eve said, these supporting revelations below are a testament to and confirmations of the integrity of UBM Ministries and all the good fruit that it has borne. Okay, the first one we called the abundant fruits of David's house. Eve Brast, 5:14-20. I dreamed that David, representing the man-child Davids, and I, representing the bride body, were in his kitchen, the place where spiritual food is prepared from the Word. David was dressed in a pure white tuxedo, and I was holding his white tuxedo jacket and waiting to help put it on him so that his outfit would be complete. Well, the man-childs are getting prepared for the marriage feast, and the bride has helped to prepare the David man-childs for their ministry. David opened the refrigerator in his kitchen, and I saw that it was packed full of very colorful and ripe fruits and vegetables. It was so full there wasn't room for anything else. Well, representing the first fruits anointing about to be partaken of, right? Amen. David was going to pull out some of the food, and I said, hold on, you have to put on this first, referring to the white tuxedo jacket I was holding for him. And we believe this represents the anointing that comes before the fruit is ministered. You know, Jesus was anointed, and he began this great anointed ministry, which is parallel to the man-child, and a type and shadow of the man-child. Because Jesus is in the man-child, right? By word and by spirit. And David said, oh, okay. And then he kind of stooped down a little so I could help him get the jacket on because he was a little taller than in real life. Okay. I said, now that's better. And he smiled at me and said, okay. And then he proceeded to get the food out of the refrigerator. Of course, to serve it, right? So the fruit of Christ in the man-child was given out when the tux jacket was put on, representing the latter rain anointing. Amen. The mantle, right? And then I woke up, she said. She said, I asked for a word by faith at random for David and received Isaiah 43:2, finger on pass through the waters, 2 through 10 in context. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. In other words, the man-child will be protected by God in the persecution of the faction to make it to the marriage feast. Amen. They, of course, want to destroy him and especially the materials, as they have proven. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I have given Egypt as thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in thy stead. Well, Father will judge the wicked who persecute the Davids. Since thou hast been precious in my sight and honorable, and I have loved thee, therefore will I give men in thy stead, and peoples instead of thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. This is what he said to Moses, too, when Moses objected to him sending him. He said, well, I'll certainly be with you. I'm not trusting in you. I will take care of it. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. So God's going to bring the seed of the man-child from all over and bring them to Zion. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone that is called by my name, and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, yea, whom I have made. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Well, these are apostates coming out of the world, you know, coming to the Lord in the man-child. Amen. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the peoples be assembled. Who among them can declare this, and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Yes, you know what? The Lord is speaking truth through his servants. All the world can't come forth with truth. They don't know what's going on. It's just like the people of the United States don't know what's going on with the presidency up there. They are in total darkness. And it will soon be revealed what's going on. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be any after me. And she asked, she said, for myself as a type of the bride, I received by faith at random, Psalm 4:1-8, in context. So, answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast set me at large when I was in distress. And this is true. The bride has been persecuted and hated and criticized by family, friends, and apostate Christians, and false leaders, and factions, and so on and so forth. Thou hast set me at large when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long shall my glory be turned into dishonor? Yes, they are criticizing and hating and lying about the bride. How long will you love vanity and seek after falsehood? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him that is godly. The Lord healer will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness, and put your trust in the Lord. Many there are that say, Who will show us any good? The Lord, lift up thou the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than they that have when their grain and their new wine are increased. In peace will I both lay me down and sleep, for thou, Lord, alone makest me to dwell in safety. There's that peace again. We are coming to that peace. Oh, glory be to God. I asked for a word by faith at random for me as a type of the bride putting the tuxedo jacket on David, and I received Song 1 and 12, 12 through 14 in context. While the king sat at his table, my spikenard sent forth its fragrance. My beloved is unto me as a bundle of myrrh that lieth betwixt my breasts. Well, this reminded me of the hug that she gave to the sun-colored comforter. Yes, the bride loves the things of God. You know, she clutched to her heart this sun-colored comforter. They love the things of the Spirit of God. 14. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of henna flowers in the vineyards of En-Gedi. And she says, I remember some past dreams that reveal just how much the crucified life bears more fruit for the man, child, and bride according to what Father is showing us in this dream above. In the past, I had two dreams of me dressing David in a tuxedo. In these past dreams, David was dressed in tattered clothes, bloody and soiled, and brought to his knees by the faction attacks against him. And as we will see, this is the wicked's character assassination showing David in a false light. I had pulled out a black and white tuxedo to dress him in, but in the dream above, he is standing tall, washed, and wearing a pure white tuxedo and completely dressed for the anointing and the marriage feast. The factious enemies have been conquered, and the righteous will shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. Amen. I had also had a dream in the past of there only being a small container of cherries in David's refrigerator, but also a larger container in the living room of fruit that was going bad, representing those whose fruit was lost by falling away, or actually of them not eating the fruit, not partaking of the fruit that was being offered to them, right? But in the dream above, the refrigerator is so packed with ripe fruits and vegetables that there isn't any more room. So here's Eve's dream we call Dressing David in a Tuxedo, 7:24 of 09. I, as a type of the bride of the last Adam, saw David, representing the David man-child body of reformers, kneeling in the guest room of my grandmother's, that's the ancient and true church, old house, where I had slept as a child, but there were no beds in the room. He was crying and praying. He had been attacked, and his clothes had been soiled and tattered and torn by an enemy. Well, the Davids have been slandered, maligned, and defamed by the wicked, as has happened throughout all of history. Just go and read your Bible. You will see it time after time after time. And this is, of course, part of the making of a man child is crucifixion at the hands of the wicked. I went to the closet and pulled out a black and white tuxedo, and then a bowl of water appeared, a white cloth, and a white cloth. I dipped the white cloth into the bowl of water and washed David's face and his hands and arms, and then I dressed him in the tuxedo for the marriage feast. Well, I want to tell you that the dreams of the saints because the wicked have slandered and maligned and character assassinated the Davids, the dreams and revelations of the saints are cleaning up him to be what he is. In other words, revealing the character of the true Davids. And God is speaking. This dream was doubled. I had it twice in a three-day period, meaning, according to Joseph, that it will shortly come to pass. That's what Joseph said of the dream that's doubled. And this one is bad fruit separated from David's house. Eve Brass 2, 4, and 19. The scene changed, and I found myself, representing Eve, the bride of the last Adam, standing in David's kitchen up on Sunshine Mountain. Sunshine Mountain. representing the larger house of David on Mount Zion. Michael and Brandy were in the study that is off of the kitchen working on the UBM materials. David appeared in front of me next to the refrigerator, and he said, "Look, Eve, I want to show you something." He was smiling as he opened the door and bent down to look inside with me. The light that shone out of the refrigerator was so bright that it took my eyes a second to adjust to it. "Well," she said, "refrigerators preserve food so that it lasts until it can be eaten." Yes, by someone, right? David pointed to a small, clear container of beautiful ripe cherries and said, "Do you see these?" I said, "Yes. They are cherries. They look really good." He was proud of them as he nodded his head and said, "Yes, they are." Well, the clear container, I believe, represents purity and transparency, nothing hidden. We've had revelations of cherry blossoms in the fall. And this past year, this was back when this dream was given, that I had to put this interpretation in here. This past year, we had cherry blossoms here in the fall, representing the fall of the old life. Yes, amen. This is what's happening. Praise be to God. Cherry trees normally show blooms in the spring, and after the blooms are gone, the fruit comes in a couple of months. Well, this varies depending on the variety and the location. So David and Eve are looking at the first fruits now in the refrigerator, ready for use for the spring of the new life, right? We've got to give up our old life in order to have our new life. People who are giving up their old life are ready to receive the new life, you see. They should be eating the fruit, right? Eve said, "Then David's countenance changed as he closed the refrigerator door, and he had a look of concern and consternation on his face as he said, 'Come, I want to show you something else.' So I followed him into the living room, and we stood at the right side of the wood-burning stove, facing the end table next to the red Bible study chair." You know, the famous chair where we did a lot of videos. The stove represents burning up the wood, hay, and stubble in fiery trials, as well as does the end table. And I put back then, the Bible study chair represents where the teaching of the word went forth for so many years. And from this was much fruit born, but not all of it was preserved in the individual's refrigerators. As in the parable of the sower, some lost their fruit to the corruption of the love of the world and sin, which Eve's dream goes on to explain. She said, "He directed my attention, pointing to a larger opaque container of many different fruits. They weren't all the same kind of fruit, like the cherries were. Some had cut up in pieces, and others had been cut in half, and while others had been left whole, only to rot in the container. I said, it looks like rotten fruit that someone left sitting there." In other words, they didn't consume it. They didn't assimilate it into their body, right? "I believe the different kinds of fruit that didn't go together and accelerated the deterioration process represented the works of man. Yes, the falling away of some who once had good fruit." In order to have rotten fruit, you have to first have good fruit, right? So letting it go without assimilating it, you know, turns it into rotten fruit, because you're not preserving it by putting it into your life. "And the cutting up of their fruits represents factions, strifes, and divisions. The whole fruits represent the island unto themselves mentality." Galatians 5, 19 through 26. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And where is it that you inherit the kingdom of God? It's right here on the earth, contrary to popular opinion. If you don't enter the kingdom here, you won't be in the kingdom there. 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. If we live by the Spirit let us also walk. Let us not become vainglorious, provoking one another, envying one another." Amen. This is rotten fruit. So we have the good fruit been given to us by Jesus Christ at the cross, because he made reconciliation. He exchanged his life for yours. He gave you his life. If you will believe it and confess it and reckon that it is no more you that live, it's Christ who lives in you, and repent of that old life and give it up and accept his new life from the cross. Amen. David was upset at the wasted fruit and the fact that someone had failed to put it in the refrigerator that the fruit might be preserved. Again, you put this, you eat this fruit, it goes into your life, and you assimilate it in your life. It becomes who you are. You are what you eat, right? And it's preserved in that way. David said, "I was discussing this situation earlier with Brandy and Michael." And then he said, referring to the father, he said, "We need to get it out of the house as soon as possible." Yes, rotten fruit only produces more rotten fruit, so it must be removed by God. Then David spoke up to Brandy and Michael in the study and said, "Isn't that right, Brandy?" And Brandy said, "Yes, We need to get rid of it as soon as possible, or it's going to spoil everything. Michael voiced his agreement also. I prayed here at that time. Father, we ask that you either bring repentance to those who lost their fruit or remove them so that a little leaven doesn't leaven the whole lump. Okay, true. And the Father does that. And he put Jeremiah 24, 1 through 10. The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs set before the temple of the Lord. After that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the craftsmen and the smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. You'll recognize the same text that we received by faith at random in the other dream, and this was in this older dream. Okay, one basket had very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe, like the cherries that were preserved. And the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad. In other words, you cannot partake of the life of a corrupt person. Doesn't matter if they call themselves a Christian. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. If you hang out with the wicked, you will be wicked. Yeah. Then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, the good figs, very good, and the bad, very bad. They cannot be eaten. They are so bad. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I regard the captives of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land. And I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. Oh, praise be to God. Wonderful, wonderful promises, right? We are now seeing the first fruits born from Babylon to rebuild the kingdom. And they're ready. And the tools and the methods and the money and everything is going to be put into their hands to do this. Nothing will be kept that is not given to them to bring this forth. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as the bad figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so bad, surely, thus saith the Lord, so will I give up Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes. That's the apostates and the leadership of unregenerate Jerusalem, right? And the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt. I will even give them up to be tossed to and fro among all the kingdoms of the earth for evil. Count on it. To be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse, in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine and the pestilence among them till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. And then I woke up. And she said, I asked Father for a word by faith at random for this dream, and my finger was on, him only shalt thou serve, in Matthew 4:10, in context 8 through 11. Again, the devil taketh him unto an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels come and minister unto him. Well, those who have heard the word but fall away to serve the flesh and the devil, as Jesus was tested to do, will be removed from the body without repentance, or unless they repent, right? Amen. And people will be tempted with the world and the things and position and authority. And some people won't give up their worldly religious kingdom and authority so that they can follow Jesus. They are too attached to the things and to the world and so on and so forth. It's an idol unto them. I asked Father to speak to me concerning all these things, and he said, quote, there's not much time left, Eve. I'm cleaning up my body, cleaning out my church on a mass scale. Oh, we've been watching it. We can see it. This we have seen very strong since about 2010 or 11, as those fell away to serve their flesh and the devil. 2019 is the year of righteousness, he said. I will have a spotless and blemishless bride. The bad fruits will be tolerated no longer. They will be cast forth out of my house. Yes, and that's what he's been doing. So very plainly, that's what he's been doing. And Eve says, please take heed to this word from the Lord. And he continued, the Father continued, he said, be careful, make sure that you are found to be a good steward of the life and the gifts I have given you. Thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. I require nothing less. Repair the garments that I have bestowed upon you. Wash them, that they may be clean and perfected at my coming. Will you be found in faithfulness and readiness? End quote. And Eve says, may Father strengthen us and bless us to be obedient and perfected for the coming of our Lord to his house. This is coming at the latter rain. We are at the morning of the third day, when he comes as the outpouring of his Spirit. Yes, that's Hosea 6, 1 through 3. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up. And that is these days now. And we shall live before him. And let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is as sure as the morning. And he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. And so many people are looking for Jesus to come from the sky, but he's coming as the rain, the latter rain, on the morning of the third day. You'll see him in his people. Okay, here's another one, and that Eve included here. Simple lives and ministries bear the best fruit. This is from Anonymous, 8-11-07. And my notes are in this. They've been there since then. I saw myself in Brother David's house for 3 days. This house was surrounded by an awesome garden, beyond what words can express. It looked heavenly. Well, these are plants or children under UBM's care who are bearing fruit, right? The exterior and interior of the house looked extremely humble and simple. There was nothing extravagant or palatial about it. Well, in exterior, our ministry doesn't look like much. I entered Brother David's home and was standing at the door, and I saw Brother David sitting in a square living room with his natural children. And I think these are types of UBM's spiritual children, right? In the center of him and his family, I saw a fair baby happily sitting upright by itself. I believe this is the promised first fruits of Jesus in our midst, the man-child ministry. Everybody was fellowshipping with one another and also admiring this baby. And this, I believe, represents before the beginning of the first year of the tribulation, because this baby could simply or could imply that the man-child is born in our midst. Amen. Brother David was full of joy. He knew the name, character, and works of each child. Each child then started to give a good testimony about their loving father. As I heard his children's testimony, an accounts book was opened before me. I am doing accounting and finance, but I have never seen such accounting records before. I saw date, details, debit, credit, and balance in the accounting records. The simple rule of accounting is when you debit one account, you have to credit another account, so that you can balance accounts at the end of the period. And also, accounting records, monetary transactions, and not anything which cannot be translated into dollars and cents. In every line, I saw a date, next, details of his family's expenditure, then, under the debit column, a price would be recorded. Well, we have not spent but stored up our treasures in heaven for God's restoration to come, you know, at that time, you know. However, on the credit column and the balance column, I saw these words, which stated, simple life. Well, the cancellation of all of our debts through the grace given to abide in Christ's sacrificial life, that is not after the lusts of the flesh, right? Every line of different expenditure details was balanced with the same words, simple life. If I was a secular accountant, David's accounting records would fail miserably, but in my heart and with a right conscience, I checked everything as correct and right before God and man. Brother David then came and stood next to me and greeted me and greeted blessings to each and every child as they went up the stairs to sleep. Well, the father's spoken blessing will cause the children to enter into the rest in the heavenly places through faith in the promises. Confess good over your children. We walk by faith and not by sight. Then I too followed and went up to rest, because this person was one of my spiritual children. The next morning I saw myself in Brother David's living room, which was converted into a workshop with three long tables with two benches on the sides of each table. The tables were labeled from 1 to 3. I was assigned table 1. I saw both men and women seated at each table. We had to make something with our hands. Brother David was the instructor. We were instructed by someone. I believe that she was talking about the voice of the Holy Spirit here. That if we had any difficulty in our task, we had to approach Brother David for guidance, as he had experienced in the work of the Lord and knew exactly how to help us on the right path to finish our task. And I believe this represents training disciples in the tribulation. Anonymous didn't know that I have trained disciples in my living room for many years, and now this training is going forth by radio, internet, and TV from there. And Mary had a dream 25 years ago of this room, except it had a glass ceiling and front wall. Brilliant sunlight, S-O-N, was streaming into the room with many plants growing up there that we knew were the saints. So, Anonymous said, I was assigned to make a trumpet with the word of God under it. I would say to give warning and a call to war. I was given metal, which looked like dull silver, to work with. My understanding is that metal is pliable only if it is melted with fire. However, this metal was different as it had the consistency of clay. Of course, that represents fiery trials that make us pliable, right? I had to put it through a dough press, which was operated manually by turning the handle on the side. I had to feed this metal in at the front and pull it out from the back. As I was doing this, I started to change color. It started to change color to a bright silver. As I continued my task, I saw a transparent film which was not part of the silver, like a hard plastic, come out. Thus, I had to separate this film from the silver. As I continued this tedious process, the metal became softer, and finally the silver changed into gold. Oh my goodness. And of course, this represents growing into the image of Christ from glory to glory, brass to silver to gold, you know. And becoming the vessel through whom the Lord can warn the saints. That is the trumpet. I then took that gold and did my work and made my piece assigned to me. And by this time, the gold had hardened by the atmosphere. I then brought my work to show Brother David, which he accepted, and then I proceeded to go upstairs to sleep, for the day was over. Amen. On day three, resurrection probably, I was having a walk with Brother David around this beautiful garden. We were admiring the beauty of this garden. The strange thing is that there was a hedge around this garden. The hedge was in a radius which was about my height. In other words, the hedge about the garden of God's fruit is tall enough to protect the whole man, right? The hedge was not very thick. This hedge was like a dark, unkept jungle, which was inhabited by wild animals and creeping things. Yeah, you step out from under the blood, and that's what you get. Well, God will prepare us a table in the presence of our enemies and the beasts of this world who live outside the bounds of the life of God's people. She said, I don't know why, as I was walking around that garden, I accidentally tripped and fell into that hedge. Uh-oh. Let me say, this actually happened for a time to confirm this dream. Anonymous represented here a type of some who stumble into the world. I was lying on my back and looking up without any ability to see anything because there was no light there. Well, leaving the light will cause us to stumble into the beast territory, which is darkness, right? However, I was not scared whilst I was in that darkness. Brother David then pulled me out of that hedge. Well, I believe that our teaching will cause some to come out from among them and be separate. They're in darkness and they don't know it. She said, there appeared two holes or fang marks in by a snake on my leg. And some will be infected by Satan's lies. I was lying on the ground, but did not feel any pain nor dizziness, etc. It seemed as if nothing had happened to me except the visible fang marks. Well, God will turn the experience of many who have failed into good because they'll remember their failures as a warning. Amen. It promotes the fear of the Lord. The switch, the chastening, promotes the fear of the Lord. And that's the beginning of wisdom. While lying on the ground, I grabbed Brother David's hand and I addressed him as Father and asked him to pray for me. And then she has a note here, but the bride says not to address any man as Father. Could it be in reference to spiritual father? Yes, of course. That's right. Matthew 23:9, and call no man your father on earth, for one is your father, even he who is in heaven. So why did he say that? Is there a spiritual thing here? Of course there is. The carnal man who dwells on earth cannot be the father of the spiritual man who dwells in heaven. We have many spiritual fathers who sowed the seed of God's word in our hearts to bring forth the born-again man from heaven. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, for though you have 10,000 tutors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I begat you through the gospel. I beseech you, therefore, be ye imitators of me. So Paul was a spiritual father, right? Amen. My exact words were, Father, I don't care if I die physically. Pray to God now that I will be with Jesus in his kingdom. While Brother David was praying, I immediately got up from my sleep. Amen. That's a good sign, a good sign. This is a spiritual resurrection of the dead here, meaning that these will overcome the stumblings of the old man, right? And this next one is also by Anonymous. Simple lives and ministries bear the best fruit, number 2. These past days I've been meditating on the garden of God. Quote, simple lives bear the best fruit, unquote. I saw 3 different ministers showing me the 3 different gardens of their ministries at 3 different times. I have been administered to in their fellowships, including Brother David's. I still keep in contact with all 3 ministries or servants of God who by revelation are called of God. Some common things to these ministries are they operate in signs and wonders and have raised the dead. They live in faith without salaries. They stress the word of God and holiness. All reject the prosperity gospel, once saved, always saved doctrine, and preach that unless we lose our self-life, we cannot gain the life of Christ to be with him in his kingdom. Amen. All the houses shown to me by the ministers were white bungalows with a huge yard or estate all around it. Ministries 1 and 2 had brick houses. Only Brother David's was made of wood. Okay, well, the structure of the ministry is not man-made, but natural for the kingdom. And God's children are likened unto trees. And this represents the simple life and the ministry that Jesus and his disciples gave us an example of. Okay? Brick, to my opinion, looked better than wood. The design of the brick houses looked better than Brother David's wood house. Yes, Jesus' ministry was not the grand palace of the Pharisees. You know, it was very simple, and it was all that was necessary. Ministry 1 was the most beautiful house of the 3, but had the worst-looking garden. It was beautifully covered in grass, and I saw only a few shoots of plants. I also saw the vine growing on the ground with good grapes. It was like here and there. I happened to taste one grape, and it was sweet and very good. But that garden looked bare and unattractive apart from the grass. And we know that Peter said, all flesh is as grass. Ministry number two got a second rank from me. Its house design was also second rank, better than Brother David's, but not as good as ministry one. They had a beautiful garden. I thought of Eden when I was looking at their garden. I saw a waterfall. The leaves were very green and lush. The leaves and plants were extremely huge. There were trees, and everything was exquisite. However, I did not see color. Well, color represents the attributes of the light, who is Christ. Right? You can have good plants, but not good fruit. And have good leaves, but not have good fruit. And light is the attributes joined together into one, right? Christ, who is the light. She went on to say that there may have been a few flowers, but I can only remember the greenery. Well, it appears that the more beautiful the exterior seen by the world is, the less good the fruit is. And Jesus sat on a rock and taught and rode a donkey. He didn't have much of a ministry if you look at it the way people do nowadays. You know, that's not the ministry. The ministry is sharing the fruit with the people. Brother David's house was worst looking in terms of beauty and design, no offense. It was extremely humble, simple in design, and I would not even take a second look at that house. I've always said that we are not much to look at. She said it was not dilapidated, but just unattractive. But his garden was the most beautiful of the three. It was awesome beyond words can express. I saw very exotic giant plants with flowers and leaves, etc. Each flower was different. The flowers, representing the saints, I believe, were all the spectrum of the rainbow. In other words, the colors of the prism are the attributes of the light, who is Christ, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, right? So on and so forth. In this garden, the flowers were the attraction. Well, flowers are, of course, the fruit desired of that kind of plant, and they are planted for beauty, to please the beholder, like the bride. And this fruit is to eat with the eyes and not with the mouth, right? Amen. She said, Brother David was also walking with me, pointing and naming those individual plants with flowers. Frankly speaking, I was not paying attention to him because I thought I was in heaven. That garden looked heavenly until I tripped and fell, which happened. You know, when a person falls into the beastly way and goes through the hedge, basically, their opinion of what is good totally changes. Totally changes. It's not good. Why are all the gardens different? She said. Well, there are different needs and different gifts and different amounts of devotion to God with different fruits born of the Word in the ministries. She said, why was Brother David's the best garden I saw among the three? Well, by God's grace, no man can take credit. The fruit is the fruit of the Word from God. It's Him. He's the one. Why did the worst-looking house have the best-looking garden, and the best-looking house have the worst-looking garden? Does the house also speak about the life of the ministers? Well, yes. The Jesus' spiritual house was not much to look at either, but he had the best fruit, the best flower in God's garden. Isaiah 53:2 says, "For he grew up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." They were looking on the outside of the house, right? God did not want his people to be enamored with the physical appearance of his servant in a fleshly worship. He wanted them to be impressed with the spiritual man inside. The house of Jesus' ministry was not much to look at either, according to this. He was born in a stable, taught in a wilderness. He had no fancy temple, synagogue, or people. He preached to the poor and was rejected as he sat on the ground or on a rock. He is an example to us to respect a simple life and ministry. All of the great latter times ministries will be this way. Yep. You will find a lot of these great temples will fall into disrepair or be taken over by the wicked. Because I'm telling you, most of this is going to be a street ministry. And of course, God is going to organize people into great organizations, all of which parts of the body feed and so on and so forth. Give wisdom, give dreams like this, you know. So God's not out of favor with that. I don't feel comfortable putting things on our site that could appear to give any credit to me, and I told the Lord that I would not put this last note that I'm fixing to share by anonymous up on the site unless he gave me a sign. And I asked for 4 heads and I got them. So I feel it's important for you to know that we are financially accountable to the Lord for our stewardship to see that it goes towards the purpose that he has sent it and not for any personal gain. Anonymous notes. I always pray for God to reveal to me whether a man is a servant ordained of God or not. God would often show me a physical sign. A tangible presence of God would descend on the servant of God's written or spoken word. I would see something in dreams or visions or get a word from the Bible. I have been given many confirmation on God's servant, Brother David Eales. Before I saw Simple Lives Bear the Best Fruit, which was the 3rd confirmation from God, I had prayed specifically for God to show me what I would see if I would be physically present in Pensacola, Florida, and check the financial accounting records of the ministry of this man of God. Well, 2 days after my request, I saw the dream, which has since been uploaded, called Escape Judgment by Clean Works. Judgment starts in the house of the Lord. This dream showed me that Brother David Eales had and desired to have clean hands or works, because he was constantly approaching me to get the white cloth which I was using to clean my cup for his own use. I then went on to reveal to Brother David Eales my prayer concerning him, and he replied to me that he was not offended and went on to give me the humble details of his life before God. And when I opened this email of August the 7th, a tangible presence of God descended upon me, which was the 2nd confirmation from God. I give all glory to God for Brother David's life and obedience to God's call in his life. Okay. Well, You know, I do give all credit to God, as I shared with you of my former life, of dirt, of mud, of the clay, you know, my life. I was not a great speaker, didn't care much about getting up in front of people, didn't really want to obey and follow God. My fruit was all bad. Not that people of the world would have considered it that way. I mean, you know, but all my habits and hobbies had everything to do with me and not with God, you know. And so, you know, anything that God did through me afterwards, or first of all, I should say to me afterwards, he gets the credit for. It's the born again life that's born from heaven and from God. And he gave me an anointing when I first took the challenge of my Baptist friend and sat down to read the Bible, because he had sparked my curiosity. Not that I wanted to serve God or anything like that. I didn't. I had all my hobbies and I loved doing them. And of course, all of it was sin outside of God, of course. So when I sat down to read the Bible, a very strong anointing came over me. And I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop reading. I was just drawn very strongly to continue reading, to find out about God, because I had been raised in the Catholic Church, and they never told us to read the Bible. They just said we could leave that up to the priests. They study these things. They'll tell us the truth. Well, I found out that wasn't the truth. I found out I was lied to, and I knew nothing about God. Absolutely nothing. I was a blank slate then, because I realized I had been lied to. So I just rejected all of what I had heard, and I was reading from scratch. You know, I was starting from scratch here. So, and of course, you know, this blank slate is easy to be written upon. When I read the Bible, I was surprised, you know, at the awesome promises and benefits that God gives to his people and the revelation he gives of himself. I was shocked, and I couldn't put it down. And, you know, being just absorbing like a sponge everything. This was not my former life. I can take no credit for this whatsoever. I mean, that's not who I was. This is absolutely, the anointing that came upon me was from God, you know. And it is today with everyone who serves God, that anointing comes upon them. You can pray for it yourself, and should, because you should know that it comes by grace and not by works. Don't waste a lot of time condemning yourself, because you're not able to pick yourself up by your bootstraps. Just talk and think faith in God, and read the word and believe it, and God will pick you up. He's the one that does it. It is supernatural. I recognized the supernatural work of God on me very quickly. I threw all my marijuana away, and, you know, and I pushed the TV over in the corner, brand new TV over in the corner, and never watched it again. I did. Actually, it wasn't because I had such a strong idea that the TV was sin at the beginning. It was because I just didn't have time to look at it. And as I read the Bible more and more, I realized that that box is full of sin, and it doesn't put anything in you but sin. So I just kept on reading, studying, digging, asking God for the most accurate Bible I could get my hands on, and so on and so forth. And I started out, I went to a Baptist church after a while and realized they weren't believing the Bible. It was a good thing I didn't go in the beginning. I would have been sucked right out of the truth, probably. And then I went to a Pentecostal church after that, which believed in the gifts of the Spirit and the works of God, which the Lord Jesus declares that every believer will have, by the way. And so that was at least a start for me. I only stayed there a year till I realized they weren't going on. They were going around in a circle. And God just led me on and on and on. And I've just loved every minute of it. I realized that God made of this pile of mud here something for that he could use. And again, I take no credit. I don't believe I should receive any credit for it. It all comes from God. I knew it was grace. I knew even when people prophesied to me that I would be a great teacher and I would stand up in front of multitudes of people and so on and so forth, like I said, that ain't me. That guy don't know me. He don't know me. You know, and it was just ordained of God. You know, God chooses the weak to confound the wisdom of the wise. And so I was qualified. You know. Even today, I'm the same way. I mean, I am trusting God to use me and put his life in me and flow through me. And this is the secret of salvation, that God works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And, of course, if we please God, he will give us more. And if we don't, he will take away what we have. Some people fall away. They don't do that without God. God is in it because they haven't used rightly what was given to them. And so God took some back. He will give it to somebody who appreciates it. And if there's anybody out there, you know, that are having some rotten fruit situations, well, just remember, God's going to give to people who appreciate what he's given them. I certainly appreciated it. I knew I didn't have any rights to it other than the promises of God. And so I just exhort you, it don't matter how far down you are, he will pick you up. You just have faith in him. It doesn't matter. It's not impossible. All things are possible with God. And we must come to him and sow his seed in our hearts, like the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. And it was that seed of the word of God in the heart that brought forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. It was the seed that brought forth the fruit. There was nothing in the natural man or the natural plant that bore the fruit. It's just the dirt. Your old natural life is the dirt that God plants the seed from heaven that brings forth the fruit. You see, it's not from you. And you can't be proud of anything. You're just the dirt. As soon as we realize that we're just the dirt, then God can do something. Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Father, for sowing your word in our hearts, causing us to love you, love your kingdom, love your Holy Spirit. Lord, fill us mightily with your will, your desires. Take away from us the love of the world. Bless us, Lord. The only people that you can trust with the things of the world are the people that don't love it. You can trust them with that, because they won't make a god out of it. So many of people who live in prosperity, Lord, here in America, are lukewarm Christians because they're so entangled in the things of this life. Lord, you know, when I came to you, I just started selling off things and giving things away. I gave everything away that I loved before, all my hobbies and all the stuff that I had accumulated, you know, which were like gold to me before. I gave it away or sold it. And because it wasn't valuable to me anymore. The only thing that was valuable is to seek first the kingdom. And Lord, you did that to this mud. And thank you, Father. Thank you. It's by your mercy and by your grace. You are all and in all. And Lord, we want you. We ask that you fill us up with your life. We ask, Lord, that your word go forth throughout all of the world, all of the earth, Lord, mightily. And I believe we're seeing the beginning of that. in a powerful way. I can't talk about it because it would put people in trouble. But I believe we're seeing it. And, Lord, we just praise you and thank you. We ask, Lord, there are so many souls out there that you have foreseen from the foundation of the world to be yours and to bear fruit. Lord, that's my hobby now. Lord, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to spread your word. Let no factious person be able to stop it. It will go throughout the earth. And thank you, Father, for guarding it. Thank you for touching people's souls and lives and causing them to love Jesus and to seek him out in his word. Thank you so much, Father, for this great revival that we're talking about. And in many cases, it's not even a revival. It's a vival. Because it's talking about the dead, you know, that have never known God coming to God. And we're seeing multitudes doing that now. Oh, glory be to God. Multitudes of the dead. Oh, yes, we know that there are the dead in Christ. People who have been raised with religion and really don't have a great love for Christ, which is over and above their idol, their religion. We know that too. And those people are coming. The apostates are coming. And apostate means fallen away. So there are people who fell away as soon as they're born, speaking lies, as your word says, Lord. And they're going to be coming back. They're going to be thrilled at the word of God. They're going to wonder why they didn't find this before. They're coming to you, Lord, in a mighty revival. So, Lord, we thank you for the revival, and we thank you for the vival. In Jesus' name, do a mighty work in these days so astounding that it will astound everybody, that people looking on will realize, oh, that's God. He's God. He's the God who saves, heals, and delivers. He's not the dead God that we've been worshiping. He is the real heavenly God, and it appears that he loves men. And he proves that he loves men. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Thank you for the mighty ministry you're manifesting through your saints. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you for sending gifted people to us, Lord, to fulfill out your ministry here and wherever it is. And, of course, we have friends all over the world who join us. And we'll, I believe, spread this gospel throughout the world. Thank you so much, Father, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, to keep your people humble and to remember where they came from. And thank you that you are the only one who can make humble people, who can receive and give out what you share. And so thank you, Father, for everything. What do we have that we didn't receive, as your word says, Lord? How could we possibly be proud? We didn't come up with this. It came out of heaven. It's God's word in us. Thank you, Lord. Doing the work. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you for this opportunity today to share this with the brethren out there. We thank all the brethren who have contributed. This has never been my method. You know, I've never taken up an offering for myself nor received money from the ministry. I've just walked by faith. But I know God wanted to do something through this, and I know it's fulfilling types and shadows and things. So I'm just watching and trying not to get in God's way. And so I thank you, Father, for what you're doing. I appreciate the house that you're giving me. It's a humble house, but I like its position. I like it how it is and where it is, and it's close to the men that we serve and women that we serve, but at the same time, it's a woodsy place, you know, which I love. I've always loved that. Never loved the clamor of this city. So Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. We love you. We praise you. You know exactly what we need and what we want, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, thank you for joining us today. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.